This is the Tornado Trackers Podcast. The Tornado Trackers are storm chasers Jeremy Heyman, Jeff Mangum, and me, Gabe Cox.
Hey, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Gabe.
And I'm Jeff.
Welcome to the Tornado Trackers Podcast. So awesome to have you back with us. We are so stoked for this week's episode. I know I say that every week, but we are really stoked this week for our amazing guest. But Gabe, you were saying that you had a little storm nugget, a factoid.
I do. I came prepared this week. I have a little nugget.
That's nice.
This one, it says some research shows. It doesn't say where the research comes from. So again,
dubious.
Some research shows that breathing in negative ions, like those released during a thunderstorm, can be good for your health. Yep. Negative ions are believed to increase levels of serotonin, helping to alleviate depression, relieve stress, and boost daytime energy. And that is the only reason why I storm chase.
Yeah, it's like antidepressant in the air. Yes, please. That's I believe it, man. As a dude who has his occasional bouts with blue mood, lightning makes me feel better. I believe that.
Absolutely.
I concur.
And if you're listening to this podcast, I imagine you're not too different either. There's got to be some nature nurture connection between, you know, why we're obsessed with these things, these storms. And yeah, I'll take lightning being addictive.
Yeah, I'll buy into it.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of absolutely positive human beings, let me intro our guest. He has a PhD in meteorology from the University of Oklahoma and over 20 years of storm chasing experience. He starred in 4 seasons of the hit Discovery Channel series Storm Chasers, where he chased in an armored vehicle in order to launch instrumentation directly into a tornado. He has intercepted over 1,000 tornadoes and over a dozen hurricanes, and is just genuinely an awesome human being. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Dr. Reed Timmer. Welcome, Reed.
Thank you for having me. Absolutely. I'm excited. I'm a big fan of the Tornado Trackers.
Oh, wow. So glad to have you, bro.
Thanks for saying that.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So would you prefer that we call you doctor throughout the show, or is that something you like to hold over people's heads?
No, God, no. No, you can just call me Reed. It took me so long. I think it took me 17 years of continuous enrollment at Oklahoma. I was storm chasing a lot.
Yeah. Wow. No doubt.
Well, Reed, something we like to ask all of our guests is what is your origin story? What is your storm origin story? What flipped the switch in your brain growing up to kind of turn you into the meteorologist and the storm chaser that you are today?
Well, I was always really passionate about the sciences and especially storms as well. My mom is a high school science teacher, a middle school science teacher, and she got me into the sciences at a very young age. And I actually collected insects for 10 or 15 years. I was obsessed with insects, and I collected them, mounted them in the glass boxes and everything. And I would focus on moths and scarab beetles. And I caught an Eastern Hercules beetle when I was probably 16 or 17. And then that was kind of the insect that I retired on. But I've got all the different silk moths, you know, Polyphemus moths, Cecropias, Luna moths, all those. I was big into hawk moths and underwings and stuff. But I was really into the sciences. And I did Science Olympiad in school, and I identified trees and insects, and I was into reptiles and amphibians. But I was always obsessed with weather and storms my whole life, from when I was really little until until now, of course. And whenever a severe thunderstorm warning or anything would get issued, a winter storm warning, I would go berserk, you know, and run all around the house, you know, and just freak out. And I just realized that, you know, weather is what I have to go into. And I love seeing storms. And I realized that when I got my driver's license, I didn't have to wait for them to come to me anymore, but I could drive after them, and started chasing lake effect snow squalls, and almost got myself in trouble a few times in my 85 Plymouth Reliant. But yeah, ever since I got my driver's license, I've been chasing after storms. And then I decided to go to the University of Oklahoma also at a young age. I wanted to study tornadoes and go to Tornado Alley to do it. And I also played the oboe too. So I had an oboe scholarship to the University of Oklahoma too, which helped to go there additionally. And then saw my first tornado as a freshman down there. My first semester, October 4th, was the biggest outbreak in Oklahoma history, October 4th of 98.
Really? Wow.
And I didn't have a car down there, so I had to find my friend Chuck Floyd was a freshman that had a car down there. So, and he was also into storm chasing, but he was a pre-law student, I think, and we're all out there playing Ultimate Frisbee. And a tornado watch was issued, and I convinced Chuck Floyd to go storm chasing. So he hopped in his car, went north, and I had no idea what I was doing structurally in terms of storm structure. So I saw this massive shelf cloud on a tornado-worn storm up in north central Oklahoma in Kay County. And I thought that that was the mesocyclone or a tornado or something was going to happen. So I told Charlie, we got to pull over and get underneath, you know, get in the ditch. Get out of the car, and we got in the ditch.
Right. Yeah,
and then we just got blasted by like 80-mile-per-hour straight line winds when shelf cloud came through. We're all just out of the car and the ditch, just getting hosed. But I got back to the car and started driving south. I knew that the tornado was on the south side of the storm, but we didn't quite have the resources that we have now. You couldn't really watch videos online. Actually, Tim Marshall replied to one of my letters when I was really young, probably like 12 years old. And I wrote a letter to him, and then he replied and sent me all these videos. So actually, the first videos I saw were from Tim Marshall back
in
the day.
No way.
He was, he responded right away. So he was instrumental in me wanting to become a storm chaser.
For people who are listening and don't know who Tim Marshall is, can you summarize his career in a nutshell?
Yeah, I mean, he's a legend of storm chasing, and he's been doing it since the beginning. All the tornadoes in the 80s and 90s, all the big events, and a lot of the videos that you see are from Tim Marshall. And he also is a pioneer in damage surveys as well. He's a structural engineer and is an expert on doing damage surveys after tornadoes. I believe he worked with Ted Fujita even doing the damage surveys.
Yep.
And so he's definitely a legend in that regard too, not only before, during, but also after the storm doing the damage surveys. And he's been a great mentor to a lot of storm chasers, and I could personally say that he's one of the people that replied and kind of got me on the right track to being a storm chaser. And then
that's great.
Jeff Petrowski, too. I was such a huge fan of Jeff, I mean, in his videos, and he's kind of a pioneer of the chaos video, I would say, which is kind of more my style. Never really been a tripod guy. And you know,
I love that line. Never been a tripod guy.
I saw Jeff's video and I was like, wow, you know, this guy's doing it. This is me, you know, kind of too. I could see the chaos storm chasing, and that was kind of my style too. And I definitely looked up to Jeff, and I still do to this day. But he's also one of the really nice guys out there that helps younger chasers, you know, kind of find their path.
Yeah, I love that. And that's actually a good segue. So you've developed these classes, and you've just started getting going, I believe, right?
Yeah, I did two classes for varsity tutors, which was fun. We did one on winter weather and precipitation types, and then the second one was on tornadoes. And I just recently launched something called Storm Chase EDU.
Okay.
And I just deployed the social media accounts this morning, but every week through my Facebook supporter platform, I'm going to do a class on storm chase, anything related to storm chasing, but we're going to go through a whole meteorology curriculum, even derive the equations, and Mark's going to come in and do some guest lectures on programming and the technology side of doing research with sensors and stuff like that. So I feel like it's just kind of a natural thing to do. I remember Tim and Jeff and all the people that kind of helped get me on the right path. So I think it's just kind of what old men do, you know. That's what I'm getting up there now. So
I'm so jealous of these youngsters who are like growing up and they have access points to storm chasers and meteorologists. It's a whole different kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. That's true. And it's definitely fulfilling to do the educational route. And my mom, being a science teacher, I totally understand why she did, you know, why she felt so fulfilled being a teacher. And she always gets those emails and letters from students down the road, you know, saying how instrumental she was and putting them on their path toward whatever they were doing. And some as scientists, some as whatever they were doing, you know. So, it's just awesome to see. And it's kind of a fun new direction that I'm going with. But I'm still going to chase everything, of course.
Yeah.
I've got a good 40 or 50 years of chasing left in me.
Heck yeah.
With, with medical advancements, maybe 70 or 80 years.
So, Reed, you mentioned deploying instruments and collecting data. The storm that, you know, I think of is the Lawrence, Kansas EF4 that y'all deployed successfully, a rocket, which is also an incredible incredible video that we'll put in the show notes to watching you launch that rocket into that beast. Tell us a little bit about that project and what data y'all recovered from that tornado.
Well, we've been working with Mark Simpson. His name is Chase and Spin on Twitter. And he is capable of designing a really small scale technology that is able to record meteorological data inside of a tornado and then stream it live back to a ground receiver, really high resolution data as well. So if it weren't for Mark, I'd still be throwing rocks into tornadoes and just yelling at the tornado, just like I had for years. But the interest in doing field science goes way back to as soon as we got the resources to be able to do field science, starting in 2007, deploying a ground-based probe. And then when Discovery Channel and Storm Chasers began, then we were able to achieve a science budget. And we built the Dominator 1, and we were using air cannons back then because they weren't a big fan of us using combustion of any kind for safety reasons. So we developed air cannons along with an engineering company, Hyperion Technology Group. And we had everything down to deploying the parachutes inside the tornado with the Dominator with air cannons that were pointing straight up, connected to an air compressor in the back. And we intercepted many tornadoes, Joel and I, and launched sensors into the tornadoes, but we never recovered any of them that we launched.
Oh, man.
They get carried tens of kilometers, who knows how far, and our tracking methods just didn't work to recover those probes. So we had our science going back then, including the drone with a 15-foot wingspan that we were dropping parachute probes out of the base of the drone.
That's so awesome.
But the problem with that was that the tornado is surrounded by a sheath of sinking air. So when we deploy parachute probes by drone, they would just get shunted into the ground. They would kind of get entrained in the sheath of sinking air that encapsulates the tornado and still kind of circulate around, but they couldn't get inside. Wow, it's almost like a solid cylinder
a force field.
You can't penetrate without the help of a rocket engine. So that's where we came up with the model rockets. And Curtis Brooks, who's the team Dominator engineer, he built the rockets, designed them, and then used the rocket simulator software to weight the rockets. And he also built the rocket launcher on the top of Dominator 3 by going to junkyards across Saskatchewan. And he pieced together this rocket launcher that connects to a joystick and you can control it. And we met Mark, and he is capable of building sensors that we can actually recover and track to accomplish that mission. And on that day in 2019 in late May, it was a pretty active season, but we kept missing all the tornadoes leading up. And Mark only had like two months to develop these sensors. So we met him like a couple of months before May of 2019, and he built these things in 2 months.
Gosh.
Like he built all his own sensor boards, the receiver, came up with the whole concept of technology. And then he flew in and we did one launch and it worked. So it's just by chance.
That was
amazing. The first launch together.
Yeah.
I got you. Don't worry about it.
It's down. I see it down.
Stop,
I
Sean,
see it
don't
down.
Move.
Don't move. Don't move. We're good. It's going to stay just to our west.
Get out of here.
There's a big tornado coming. Get out of here.
All right, I'm going to launch soon.
Hold on, Sean. Don't move, Sean. Don't go, Sean. We're good.
In that case, on Linwood, there was the HP storm developed, and it produced an initial bird fart tornado, kind of a small one, you know, that it just popped up on velocity when we were driving on the east-west road, and we drove right through it in the Dominator and didn't even feel anything, you could see it move right over, and you looked to the north and saw the rain curtains, kind of converging. But then this big inflow pipe developed on it, and whenever they get that massive inflow zone, you know that they're about to go crazy. So we went way to the east and north and then looked to the west, and then bam, you could see where it was, but I couldn't quite see the tornado. You could just see a real dense rain curtain exactly where it was supposed to be. That might have been the wedge even, but...
Yeah.
But then we pulled over and got the rocket out, and Curtis is supposed to launch the rockets, but... he ended up shutting his leg in the door of the Dominator 3.
Ooh.
So when you shut that real heavy door, it ended up breaking his ankle, and he had to go back to Saskatchewan. Me that had to launch the rocket, and he just told me how to do it and everything, and there was a good chance I was going to mess it up. But I got lucky and got the igniters all correct and hit the big red button without a countdown and saw the rocket go into the tornado with my own eyes, you know, so I knew it was in there.
It's right! I think we got in! I think we got in! Big Wedge, it's behind us! Hey, Mark, we got it in! I think we got it in! Power flash! Big power flash!
And I still wasn't sure, 100% sure that it was a massive wedge. It was one of those situations where it was HP, but you knew there was a tornado in there and you could see the notch and the edge of the rain. But then when it crossed to our south, the power flash happened and the whole thing illuminated, and I knew that the rocket got inside of it, so I knew that it worked. But then I popped my head in, and Mark was working the receiver. He's got an English accent, you know, and it's like, it's up to 10,000 meters, you know, and like, it was like debris in his face, and he was hanging out of the car.
Coming up at 18,000 feet.
We're at 18,000 feet. The rocket's at 18,000 feet there.
Just crossed.
18,000?
Yeah.
18,000 feet. 6,103. 6,169.
How high is it right now, Mark?
About 19,000 feet.
And I see this a house go by in the tornado, like just big debris going around. A roof went by, and Mark's hanging out the window, pointing the receiver at the tornado with that debris. And that was one of the first he's ever been close to. And
wow,
he was a rock. Yeah, it's like he didn't panic at all. I think he's so smart that he just doesn't panic. He doesn't deal with those types of emotions.
It's all robotic.
That stiff upper lip. Yeah. He's that British mentality. Like,
this is science, y'all.
Yeah. So he just, and then he was tracking it, reading the altitude numbers, and he lost it. And he's recording the data, 1 hertz data. So every second data is coming in, and he's able to record that live streamed data. But after we lost signal, we don't have any of that data, and we have to recover the probe directly to get the 10 hertz data, which is 10 times a second. So we put up a picture of the probe and everything on social media. And then in like a matter of the next day, we did this. In a matter of minutes, we got a message from somebody that had found the probe in Leavenworth, Kansas, over 30 miles away. So we got the 10 hertz data and everything and plotted it out.
30 miles away.
Wow.
So now I'm still writing the paper, you know, similar to how school took me a long time to get through. This paper has also taken me a while, but it's almost done and we're going to submit it in the probably the next few weeks or maybe later this month. So
wow, how exciting is that?
That's amazing. Wow. Man,
and Reed, does that have anything to do with I know you've done some study and some work on subvortices inside of tornadoes, hyper fast I probably butcher this, but like micro tornadoes inside of tornadoes. Yeah. Will this work overlap with any of that?
I think it will eventually when we can get dozens of sensors launched into the tornado at the same time. And especially if we can get the probes deployed in the tornado relatively close to the ground. So in a vortex, the subvortices is really focused right near ground level where the vortex is interacting with the friction of the earth. And so that's what causes the wind to slow down, get forced out of balance, and then you get wind going in toward the low pressure, and the vacuum cleaner above causes the vortex to break down like that into miniature vortices. Mm-hmm. But I think above that, it's probably one vortex, and then as you get closer to the ground, then you get the multiple vortices. So I think we'd have to launch the rockets almost horizontally in that case. You know, maybe on the Dominator, we have a bunch of like a big rocket launcher with a rows of rockets, and then we can kind of aim and launch a row down low, then one up high, then just launch a bunch of rockets.
That's the dream right there.
And we were hoping to do that last year, but then the pandemic hit, and then we couldn't get the Dominator 3 down from Canada. And
So moving into 2021. There's a lot of people getting excited about this tornado season, but do you guys have any plans moving forward in 2021 with more of that research?
Yeah, we're hoping to get our rockets launched again. So as soon as the Canada border opens, then Dominator 3 will be involved. But we'd like to build a rocket launcher on the Dominator 4, which is my Subaru.
Yes.
That's parked out here. So we're going to get a rocket launcher on that too. And it'd be awesome if we could have a bunch of storm chasers, maybe the tornado trackers, just we'll all be launching rockets at the tornado, like the 4th of July and doing science.
Oh, man. That'd be amazing.
We are 100% in. I'm giving you our answer right now. And, tell us where to sign.
And we figured Mark will be on the ground with all these monitors tracking all the probes as they get launched into the tornado. And it'll be launching balloons out in front of it. But I think we're going to have to start off the year slow with the pandemic. And we'll be deploying the microbarometer, which is the subsonic sensor, into tornadoes. And then as soon as Mark can get vaccinated, and we'll get him down here, because we need Mark to track the sensors still. So they're not quite autonomous, because we'd probably mess it up anyway. But if we're all out there, then Mark focuses on the sensors. I focus on yelling at the tornado, and then Sean drives.
Reed, what's a microbarometer?
That's the subsonic sensor, so it measures really fine scale pressure oscillations, and we're using it to measure infrasound waves too, and gravity wave emission from the tornado. So if you deploy it like outside of the tornado, and there are waves emanating from the tornado, and infrasound waves can travel really long distance too. They're kind of low frequency waves that your ears can't quite hear, but it's possible hurricanes could generate them when they're approaching, when there's mesovortices going around inside the eye wall.
Speaking of hurricanes, Jeff and I got some great footage of Dominator 4 and Hurricane Laura.
You guys
are right up in the action. And you were, I believe during that storm, you were filming for a National Geographic show called Category 6. Is that right?
Yeah, that was our first season filming that was in 2020. And we still have to finish shooting episode 6 this year during Dixie Alley season. And we're hoping there's going to be a season 2, maybe, I think, this year. It sounds like there's going to be. So we'll be back out there launching rockets at tornadoes for it, hopefully. But we were in for Hurricane Laura, and we had the same camera guy that rode with us during Storm Chasers all those years.
Really?
Oh, nice.
Chris Whiteneck is his name. Well, he'll tell you he was the only one available, but he was working another show in Honduras down there. And then when the pandemic hit, all shows were canceled. And then Category 6 happened to be the only show that was going at the time. So,
sure.
Of course, Chris.
He wanted to be a part of it, man.
Yeah. I don't know how much he wanted to be in the car, but he loves the storm chase too. Right? He was with us during Tornado Chasers too. So during Storm Chasers all 4 years, and then Tornado Chasers he's been in El Reno, and he's been inside all those tornadoes too, shooting from the back seat.
Wow.
But he did Years of Deadliest Catch, and then did that show in Afghanistan where they disarm IEDs, and he ended up driving over one and stuff. So he's had a lot of crazy.
Wow.
He's a rock in stormy seas.
Wow.
But yeah, he came back out, and then because the pandemic was happening, we had to rent a Sprinter van and sleep in the van and chase in it, all three of us.
Yep.
Which was pretty rough. We had a fire on board too. We started a fire in the van, and eventually we completely disabled the van and had to have it towed back to Denver. So we didn't even return the van. We had it towed back.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I recommend all the insurance, Hertz, Avis. They're all,
do they
all
know
good.
You? Do they know you now? Like, do they have like a wanted poster inside all of the rental vehicle places?
They don't, believe it or not. They don't, seem to recognize me. I deal with a different attendant every time. And yeah. One time I returned a rental car back in 2018 after chasing in eastern Wyoming. I got a flat tire when I was about to intercept this tornado, and was driving on this really rural road in eastern Wyoming, just south of Federal, and ended up popping my tire. And I could see the tornado forming like 12 miles in the distance. And I had two options. I either fix the flat and miss all the tornadoes, or I drive on the rim for 12 miles and intercept the tornado. So I drove on the flat tire, and then it got down to the rim. And then I punched through the hook, and then the tornado was right there. Softballs started coming in, cracking the windows.
Man.
And the tornado was it was the one where I saw the cows fly through the air.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tornado's coming at me. Big problems. Big problems. Expanding into a wedge. There's a little bit north. cows! Cows going through the air!
So then I had the flat tire and it started coming back toward me again. And so I kept driving to the north through the softballs that were kind of in the hook to the west of the tornado. And then Federal, Wyoming, had some homes that were damaged. So I found a guy who rode out the tornado in his beneath his stairwell. And he had a couple of huskies, these really large dogs.
Yeah.
And he was a little disoriented. His house was just destroyed. So I let him come into my rental car and seek shelter. And then the huskies, these giant dogs, were just shredding the back seat. It was all muddy back there. So the whole interior was destroyed.
Husky
blew the windows
insurance.
Out, drove on the rim, and then returned the car the next day with the donut tire on it, the windows blown out, the interior totally destroyed. And then the rental car people were giving me a round of applause when I returned it. So
all-time record.
That's incredible.
That video, by the way, is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like there were many chasers where you were. It was pretty.
Yeah, there was just one chaser out there. Michael from Seattle. I think you guys probably know him. His Twitter's like Seattle weather guy. He throws the best football of anybody I've ever seen. The guy's like, he's like Brett Favre out there. We were playing catch with the football, and I mean, every pass is just, but apparently he's like a national champion at flag football or something like that. But I ran into him out there, and he was right behind me when we went into the bear's cage. But that tornado had a bunch of hail and rain that wrapped completely around it. You couldn't see it. You had to punch through the rain and the hail. An occasional baseball would come in, but you could see the tornado really well once you got inside that sheath of rain and hail in there. It was really visible.
That was a monster.
Yeah, well, we'll have to post that video link in our show notes so people can check that out.
Well, Reed, for any aspiring storm chasers who are out there, what advice would you give them as they're dreaming about becoming a storm chaser or a meteorologist?
I would definitely do it. If you're passionate about it, don't give up. Because if you love what you're doing for a living, then it's really easy to work hard at it. And, you know, I think you could still storm chase and go to school at the same time. And, you know, I think that meteorology and storm chasing is an awesome path. Even though, as people say now, that there's no jobs in it, I think moving forward, there's so many new technologies that are happening that we can't really understand the opportunities that will be available for content contributors. And I think that kind of us as, you know, storm chasing is kind of an art form too in the content that we generate. So the human influence is definitely a required thing in this profession too.
Yeah.
So I would just say never stop chasing, really, especially once you get your driver's license. But make sure you go with a storm chaser that knows what they're doing first before, because it could be really dangerous if you just go out and let it rip like we did.
I'm so curious because I've read your Into the Storm book. Like, internally, how would you speak to the 20-year-old version of Reed? What are some of the things that come to mind in your career of storm chasing?
Well, in terms of what I would tell my 20-year-old self, there's a lot of things I would say that I probably can't say on this podcast, honestly. But, you know, I think that any career, not just storm chasing, there's a lot of ups and downs, and a lot of downs definitely happen a lot. So I think that those kind of shape you as you get older, you know, almost make you a little bit numb to things here and there. But I think that I would just tell people to chase through the bad times, never stop chasing, you know, whether things are going good or not. And eventually things kind of swing back to good times, you know. So, I mean, you can't have a trough without a ridge.
Yep.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's definitely a lot I would do differently if I could go back in time. But I don't have any regrets either, because I kept storm chasing through the whole time, and that was really the only goal, was just to never stop chasing. So it worked out pretty well.
I'd say so.
Wow. Well, Reed Timmer, thank you so much for joining us on the Tornado Trackers podcast. This was an absolute delight. You're somebody who we've wanted to talk to about all this stuff for a really long time. We'll be so excited to have you back on. Where can people find you online?
Oh, they can follow me on Twitter at Reed Timmer, ACCU, A-C-C-U. On Facebook, just you can follow me on my Facebook page there. And on Instagram, my page is just Reed Timmer on that one. And also on Twitch, Storm Chaser Reed Timmer on Twitch.
Heck yeah. Everyone follow Reed. I mean, he's the godfather, at least to us in a lot of ways. And so he's a no-brainer follow. Yeah, so thank you so much for joining us on the Tornado Trackers podcast. Share this podcast with somebody who you're weather friends with, who you're in a group text with, you talk about weather with constantly, or just share it with anybody. That would be awesome too. Follow us everywhere online at Tornado Trackers on Twitter and Instagram, youtube.com/tornadotrackers, and check our website out, tornadotrackers.org. We'd also love if you leave us a comment on Apple Podcasts. Tell us your favorite weather story. We'd love to read those on the air. We believe everyone has a weather story, even if you're not a storm chaser. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been the Tornado Trackers podcast, and we will see you in a couple weeks.